Thanks, Terry. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm sitting in for Donna Quinn this week on Talk of Our Towns. And I'm really happy to say that we're doing kind of a State of the Station show today with some great guests in the studio. We have Joan Herman. She's our board president. Brian Bovenizer is our operations manager. And Graham Nystrom is our brand new station manager. He's still shiny
out of the package.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to have these people in the studio because I was the station manager, as of last year. Graham is station manager now. We have a new kind of crew of people leading the station, and it's exciting times here. So in our 35th year, as you consider whether to support us, renew your membership, this is a great time because we're on a great path. A lot of new things are happening, new energy, kind of a new generation of people who are making your station vital and changing things in good ways and keeping things strong. So I'll just say that phone number one more time, 503-325-0010. So I thought I'd start out today by asking our guests to just tell a little bit about themselves and what brought them to radio. So Graham, why don't we start with you?
I'd love to start. Yeah, thank you. So my name's Graham, and I've been in the radio business for several years now. But I started out as a live sound engineer and also a recording studio engineer. I spent the better part of about 12 years engineering bands and events in the Portland area at different venues. I was never a touring engineer. I was more of a house engineer, so I had five or six different places that I would work throughout the week, and I also taught music lessons part-time. So I'm a guitar player and a piano player, and I worked at a nonprofit music center called Ethos Music Center, and so that was kind of my first foray into working for a nonprofit organization that had a foundation and a board and, you know, sort of saw how those worked. You know, I saw people writing grants for equipment and for programs for the after-school program, you know, music programs for underserved youth, especially in rural communities and things. And so that was a good experience. If you know me, you know that I've had a chronic sort of back issue. I've always had scoliosis, and until recently I was finally given an actual diagnosis where one of my legs was significantly longer than the other. And you'd think you'd kind of figure that out, but it just, you know, I kind of trusted my doctors, and so I had to actually get out of the live sound business because it's a lot of schlepping of heavy speakers and gear and things, and working late nights, and so I didn't know what to do with my life. I thought I was going to have to go back to school or just completely change my path. And then out of the blue, I was offered a job as an audio engineer at OPB, which is kind of like a desk job for sound guys. you sit like Terry is now in front of a mixer, and you watch the people talking, and you pull up the CD when you need a CD or the audio file here or the, you know, and you do some routing. And we did a lot of remote things, similar to what we do here, like at the Columbia Forum for the Daily Historian, and our live broadcasts from Brew Cup and Astoria Music Festival and Fisher Poets. And so that was a really good training ground for me. OPB is a much bigger organization than Coast Community Radio, and it's also more the public radio model as opposed to the community radio model, which is, you know, it's sort of a nuanced difference, but there is a difference there. And I have to say that I really love the community model much more than the public radio model. I love the music. I love the variety. OPB is definitely news oriented. And so my background is a little more in the arts than the news. And so that's why I feel like community radio is a better home for me. And so after working for OPB for several years, and I also worked for a show called Livewire Radio, which is a syndicated program produced in Portland. And that was another good example of a place where you're kind of juggling 32 different things in the air at the same time. And that's kind
that
of what
familiar.
Life is like here. Yeah. So it was a good training ground, like I said. And so, you know, the last part of my time in Portland was doing that. And then I thought, you know, what I really need to do is address my back situation. And the only way to do that is with good health care and a full-time job. And so I started looking really hard for a full-time job. And then, you know, I guess that things went in my favor, and I was in the right place at the right time. And the operations manager here, Joey Patenaud, who'd been here for a long time and done a lot of good work for the station, was ready to retire. And so I seemed to fit the description of what the station was looking for. And so I was
and
brought
on. You were
on.
Kind of living in the basement, or sort of, so to speak. Yeah, equipment. Well, your equipment was in our basement.
Yeah, I needed a place to do some audio editing, and so I offered to clean up the engineering room in the basement, which was a little bit of a mess, I'm not going to lie. And so,
well, that never happens.
That was kind of my first volunteer job at the station, was cleaning out the basement, and I did set up a computer down there that I could do some editing on, and yeah, just kind of continued the relationship and met the staff and the board members and the programmers. And one day was, I can't remember if you sent me an email or called and said that you're going to be looking for somebody. And I just about burst into tears. I was so happy. Yeah. And I still am happy. And I can't believe, you know, that things have gone the way they've gone. And I'm just thrilled to be in the position I am. And I don't want to take all the time. So I'm going to pass the mic.
Okay. Well, thank you, Graham. So a person who... Graham works
with...
So
can I interrupt you?
Absolutely.
So there is a happy ending, and
I got
I got surgery, and now my legs are the same length, and my chronic pain is gone. So
Yahoo.
Yeah, so that's the resolution to that
Yay.
Story. So life is good.
And now you heard cats for a living, and that's good. And you are eminently qualified. A person in the governance area of things here at the station that Graham works closely with is our board chair, Joan Herman, who brings her own unique experience to our station. So, Joan, tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure, Joanne, thanks. Well, I originally moved here in 1986 to accept a job as a news reporter at the Daily Historian, and I've always loved journalism. I did that for about 4 years and then ended up going into the bike business with my former husband. But during that time, we were listening to KMUN all day, every day, and I really got to know the station and wanted to get involved in it. So I actually became part of the Guidelines Committee, which is now the Community Advisory Board, and then actually served on the board in the early 90s, which I just learned. I remembered it vaguely, but I actually had it confirmed for me when I was looking through an old current the other day. But I was gone from Astoria for about 14 years, missing it every single day. And when I had, seriously, and my friends in Longview were very tired of me saying that. But anyway, when I had... Well, it's kind of an opportunity to retire on disability almost 4 years ago. It gave me the chance to come back to this place I love. And one of the first things I did when I came back is to come into our beautiful Tillicum house on 14th Street, right between Exchange and Franklin. If any of you want to drop by and get some great food today, by the way, and maybe drop us off some money, we would be certain to feed you and welcome you. At any rate, I came in here and talked with Elizabeth about volunteering as well as having a show. And I answer the phones twice a week. I decided to run for the board. And I now have a public affairs show on Friday mornings, a little more than every other Friday, not necessarily every single Friday. But I just love this place, and it's such a treasure to our community. And there is no other place in the United States that has a station like this, because there is no place that has these people on the air, our neighbors, our friends, the voices that we know, even if we've never met them. And it's exposed me to so many different forms of music, as well as viewpoints that I wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. So I'll always treasure that about our beloved Coast Community Radio. So again, I want to encourage anyone who's listening out there, if you value community radio, and again, we are, you know, just a unique place, truly unique in the whole world, then please donate to us today and stop by and say hi. We've got a bunch of friendly people here. Thanks, Joanne. I'll pass it off to you again.
Sure.
That was well said, Joan.
Yes, thank you. So I'll just say 503-325-0010. Make those phones ring. Well, also in the studio today, we have a third very important person in the pieces of the puzzle here, and that's Brian Bovenizer. He's our operations manager, and I never at our staff meetings, which I'm grateful to still be part of as a news director, almost every time either Graham or Brian will go, well, how come we're doing it that way? Why don't we do it this way? And the rest of us kind of go, oh. And this is one of the great values of having new minds.
Is that
and
what we do?
Fresh ideas. That's among the many things that you do. And we go, duh, I don't know. Maybe we have. So we're constantly, the point I'm trying to make is that these folks are full of better mousetraps, and we find them all the time. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. So I have a history of audio engineering and was going to school for music and audio engineering, and I couldn't major in that in my school, so I decided that I'd really like to work in radio. And at that time, all I knew was commercial radio. And I got through about a year of the radio program at Western Michigan University, and I deemed radio dead. I was heavily involved in the Pandora project when it was still a public project, and was really into digital media at the time. And I said, radio is dead. There's no way I'll ever get a job in radio. So I changed my focus more just to music, and until I moved to Astoria. I moved to Astoria, and I met a couple people that were volunteering here at the community radio station. I'll be honest, I didn't know what community radio was. I knew public radio, and I knew commercial radio at that time. And I went in and sat in on a couple people's shows, and I said, you mean you just get to sit here and play the music that you want to play? Nobody tells you what to play? And it was amazing, and I just fell in love with it and immediately found out how to get in the radio class here. And if you are a member, a volunteer here, anybody can join the radio class and get in. And that's one of the great things about community radio. So give us a call, 503-325-0010. And I want to see those phones light up for people that want to join the radio class, because that that would make Elizabeth real happy.
That's right.
But so I got a show after a little while on late night radio. My shadow was Marianne Myers. I got to sit in with her.
Oh, wow.
And that was really exciting.
Thank you.
And then I finally got on daytime radio. I was kind of done with the nighttime thing. I wanted to play folk music, so I do Thursday morning folk that I've been doing, I think, for 4 years now.
Wow.
3 or 4 years?
TMF,
as I like to call it. And Jack also says that I turn my accent into a little bit of a country accent. So on the air, you might not notice me. I've had callers say that, too.
Noticed that.
It's just my performance voice, I guess. I play in a country band, so that's just what I do. So, yeah, I did that for a few years, and then when the switch happened here, I didn't expect the call. I don't know if it was, I think it was definitely a call, and I didn't think it was serious at first. It was one of those things. They asked me if I'd be interested in the operations manager job here, and I just didn't think it was serious. I was like, this can't be right. And I think that was September.
There's such a bunch of caterers around here.
I just didn't think it would be possible that I could be working for a radio station. And I am extremely thankful for that, because, 11, 12 years ago when I was in college, that's what I thought I was going to do. And then I gave up on the dream. So don't give up on the dream.
Well, can I just jump in here and say that at that time there was no one better for the job, and that is still totally true, and the things that Brian has brought to the table have just far exceeded everybody's expectations, and it's just been such a treat and such a blessing to have him on the staff, and Janet too, who's a new staff member, and Susan is just incredible. And, you know, Terry is our engineer. It's a really great group. And I just can't say enough good things about what a good team this staff is, how you're never alone in a decision that you're making. You're never alone in a task that you have. If you're overloaded, then someone else will take something off your plate, and we share that load. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Brian, for your contributions and just what an amazing, amazing job that you do for the station.
Oh, shucks. Thanks, Graham. I want to thank Graham for inspiring all of us to have a better radio voice, because you do just have a solid radio voice.
It's very suave, isn't
it?
Suave is the word for it. So if you like Graham's radio voice...
That's my performance voice, because I play in a suave band.
if you appreciate that voice like I do, please, we are in the middle of Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 503-325-0010, and become a member of the station, and then maybe you can be part of the staff someday like us.
Yeah. I just want to remind you that you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm Joanne Rideout, and I'm hosting today for Donna Quinn. And we have in the studio Graham Nystrom, who's our station manager, Joan Herman, who's the chairman of our board, and Brian Bovenizer, who is our operations manager. And we're talking kind of about the state of the station. I wanted everybody to kind of introduce themselves. So we're about halfway through the show. I wanted to use the second half to talk about what's happening now, because Oh, and Terry has.
I got a big announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got some thank yous. All Thor right. in Westport.
Wow.
A big donation. And Marianne, a huge donation in Astoria. Oh. And I was remiss because I didn't mention that we had a show goal here for this program. And that was $300, and a challenge grant where the money is doubled. A group called Invisible North Coast Oregon.
Oh, and that's a great organization. We can hit that show goal out of the park, can't we?
I think we are, but I don't know if our telephone is not working, but there must be because of some calls, but I don't see the lighting.
So
503-325-0010, please call.
So I'm really excited about, because I work here every day, the changes that I'm seeing and sort of the new ideas and the inspiration and the smarts that I see around this place are really inspiring. So Graham, tell us about what's going on.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes this job so much fun for me is that I love a puzzle. I love a problem. And so, you know, when it comes to figuring out an issue with wiring or why a computer won't work or, you know, there's just so many puzzles. We're surrounded by puzzles. And so it's just a blast to come to work and do what I love to do. And, you know, so when I came on originally as operations manager, my focus was on the aging computer network. All the computers were running XP, and they were slow. If you've ever worked on a slow computer, you know how frustrating that can be, to where, you know, you hit send or you hit download or whatever it is that you're trying to do, and then you sit back and wait. You know, maybe you go pour yourself a cup of coffee while that page loads. That is not an efficient way to work. And so that was priority number one, was upgrading all of our computers. And so with the help of Jacob Humphreys, who's our network administrator, we installed a pretty high-class server and all new office computers, all new automation computers, a new streaming computer. We got rid of some funky old CD players that never seemed to work right for people. We started digitizing our CD library so that we can make sure that if a CD gets scratched, we still have access to that content that we own. And then I started a project where we kind of cleaned up our email server situation because staff members would have about 400 spam emails in their inbox every morning. And that's a lot of time wasted. And so Brian kind of picked up that project when he came on. And so we've moved everything over to Google for Nonprofits, which is really great of Google to offer that for nonprofits. And that's been really great. And so, as you mentioned, Joanne, I've been told that I represent sort of a shift towards the next generation of this community radio station. And so that is a big task to rise to, because I want to make sure that the founders are happy, the people who've been involved for a long, long time are happy. But I also want to make sure that we are growing our audience among the younger folks in the area and keeping radio relevant and keeping it stable so that we can keep broadcasting for 35 more years, even though, you know, and Joan may talk about the unpredictability of federal funding, because we do get one significant grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so that's kind of represents a risk for us, because that could go away someday. And so that's why we rely so much on our listeners for our support. And that is going to be what makes us really stable, is making sure that we serve the people that we are supposed to serve, and that they understand that we do need their support, and that we are able to, you know, convey the fact that this is a publicly owned service. This is a public service. This is our community radio station. You know, I hear a lot of people say this is your community radio, but it's our community. It's everybody's community radio station. And so we are listener supported. And so, you know, like Terry said, either our phones are malfunctioning or the lights blew out or something, but there. Yes. 503.
Oh, we're so fascinating.
503-325-0010 is the number to call if you would like to be one of those supporting community members that appreciates the services that we provide. Because we love providing this service. All of our DJs love playing this music. All of our public affairs hosts love keeping you informed and educated. And one thing that I really like doing is having that mantle of introducing radio to the younger crowd. And so Elizabeth and I and Brian, too, we visit with the area high schools. I just went to Warrenton High School for the first time, and what a great group of people those are out there. I really look forward to getting them more involved with the station. And And I've started an internship program for young high school students who are interested in either journalism or production. And so we've had four students coming in for one afternoon a week, and they've been helping us edit podcasts of bedtime stories, and they've been learning how to record their own music and building some skill sets, working on their suave radio voices under my tutelage. And so that's been really fun, and that's one of the things that I'm most excited about, is just keeping radio relevant for the young folks in town and in the community, so that when, you know, and a great example is Dylan and Gabe, who were on KAYR for a year now, which is Astoria Youth Radio, and they just got their own show. And so they, I mean, how great is that, that, you know, that they appreciated the opportunity to come play music for people on the radio and be entertaining. And they really rose to the occasion, and Elizabeth saw fit to give them their own show. So I'm super proud of Dylan and Gabe and all of the other students who've participated here at the station. And you know, Brian mentioned the radio class, and I believe that the radio class used to be worth a college credit. And so I want to talk to Chris Breitmeyer up at the college and see what we can do about making that happen again. And even beyond, you know, there's no reason that we couldn't be teaching a music production course up there, because there are so many local musicians and there aren't a lot of recording studios or opportunities here. And so, you know, all things that are on the horizon that we'd like to explore, and then obviously just maintain what we already do and do so well, which is our locally produced public affairs, our local news presence. Joanne, I mean, everybody was so thrilled when you became the news director because of your journalism experience and also just your commitment to it. You know, you can have experience up the wazoo, but if you're not committed to it, then, you know, that shows. And I mean, The Ship Report is such a fantastic show, and it's such a staple on the station. And we've learned that Bedtime Stories is just truly a part of the station's identity. And so, you know, it's clear that that's important to the community. And so we listened to you, and there will always be a place for Bedtime Stories as long as there are readers dedicated to reading to those young ones. And so, you know, maintaining the things that we're good at and also growing in new ways that will keep a new crop of people interested in radio and excited about radio.
Wow. Thank you, Graham. Joan, let me talk. Joan is our board chair, and the board of directors is an important part of the governance of the station. So, Joan, can you talk a little bit about what's happening at the board level?
Well, this year we're really focused on fundraising, because what we would love to do is make KMUN not so reliant on this large Corporation for Public Broadcasting grant that we get every year. It's a federal grant, so it comes from the federal government, which means it's vulnerable to being cut often. It hasn't been cut often, but it's vulnerable to being proposed to be cut, as it has been this year in President Trump's budget. We don't know if that's going to come to pass, but it does account for between 25 and 30% of our budget, which is a substantial amount. So again, our goal as a board is really to make us less dependent on federal funding. So that means you, dear listener, we need you to really step up. If you're a member now, perhaps you could just bump it up a bit. Or if you're not a member, we'd love to have you into our big family. I believe we have 1,000 to 1,100 members. We've got 6 talented, dedicated staff members, about 100 volunteers. That all takes money. But I did want to mention one thing before we go off the air in about 6 minutes. We have, it's sort of a fundraiser, but really it's more of a big birthday celebration for our beloved Coast Community Radio, or KMUN, as some of us long-timers still call it. It's going to be April 14th in the ruins of the Astor Hotel. That is the name of it. It's the ground floor of the Astor Lobby. It is just this beautiful space, great for a party, great for dancing. DJ, Astoria programmer DJ Joey Altruda will be spinning dance tunes. You can come with your kids. All ages are welcome. We'll have a no-host bar, food, and cake. We'll have cake for everyone.
Woohoo!
Because
that's
we right. are turning 35. So again, that party is April 14th. It's free. If you want to drop a donation by, we certainly won't turn it down. So those are just a few of the things that we're really focusing on this year, Joanne.
That's great. Terry, go ahead. You're waving at me.
No, I'm just telling you how much time
we have left. Well, we have some time for Brian, too. So Brian Bovenizer, operations manager, you have been doing so many amazing things here to just raise the boats around here. So just talk a little bit about what your job is like.
Well, my job has been following in Graham's footsteps, so it's really hard because he hasn't stopped walking. He is still heavily involved in our operations here, and I'm just trying to kind of find the spots that he's not covering. I'll always think of something, and then he'll be like, "Oh no, I got that. I got a grant for that. I know I've got some of that coming. I went into Portland and I bought one for $35 on my own dime, and I'm going to rewire it." I just really have to do kind of deflect that to Graham. And as far as things that we've done here, just recently we installed a new compressor limiter on our main bus that goes out to the airwaves, and it was a really cool piece, and that was what I was talking about. He went out and, was it $35 that you bought that thing for?
I think it was 40.
$40. It's probably an $800 piece of gear that is worth way more than that in the sound. So this last week we installed that, or Graham installed that, and we started to tweak that. And I have noticed a difference. I've talked to friends who have said, man, the airwaves have been sounding so good recently. So little things like that, having both of us have a technical background, allows us both to tweak things and say, hey, take a listen to that next time you're on the air. Hey, mic number two might need the bass roll off so I can have a suave radio voice like Graham does. on my end, I do bring a computer background in graphic design and web development. So I've been doing some work on the website. We're soon to have a new RSS feed for all of our podcasts. That has been one of my bigger projects right now, so that you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or whatever your podcast app is, and getting some of these great public affairs accessible to anybody in the world in just instant. Radio has become more than just the airwaves, and I'm trying to fill in a little bit there. But we are running out of time, and we need to reach our goal.
We've got to thank somebody.
We've got to thank somebody, too.
Carol from Brownsmead called in.
Thank you, Carol.
503-325-0010 is the magic number to call.
Well, I just want to, we're wrapping up the show. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been the guest host today for Donna Quinn, who's usually in this chair. She'll be back next week. My guests today have been Graham Nystrom. He's the station manager. Joan Herman, the board chair of the Tilcom Foundation. And Brian Bovenizer, the station's operations manager. I'm the news director. We've been talking about the state of the station. We do this every once in a while. But as somebody who's been involved here for 15 years, I'm really excited about the changes that I'm seeing here. It's so gratifying to see such an influx of great energy and just plain smarts and technical expertise and enthusiasm of the people that are in this room and the people that are on our staff and our volunteers. So you are investing when you call in a great enterprise that has a lot of promise, that is moving forward into, I think, a great future that I'm really proud to be part of. So with that, 503-325-0010. If you haven't called already, or even if you have, call us again. Support your station. This is all about all of us together making it work. So thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
Our engineer, Terry Wilson.
Once again, thank you, Thor in Westport, Mary Ann. Thank you, Carol in Brownsmead, and Lori in Astoria. And this has been a very successful show.
Oh, we're so glad for everyone's support. And thank you, Terry, for engineering. Thanks, Joanne, for hosting and giving us the opportunity to share some of our thoughts and our backgrounds. And I just have to throw it back to Brian, because he's doing everything that I did and way more. sometimes I think, God, how does he keep up with all this stuff? It's amazing. And just Joanne's work as board chair has been incredible. The board is really strong right now. So thrilled that they're taking on these fundraising tasks and duties. And, we've got just a really strong board. And, you know, if you've ever considered being on a board of directors, then, you know, our election's in November, and you'd send us a letter of intent in September. And, you know, I think I don't know how many seats are going to be open for election this next term, but I'm sure it's a couple. And so, you know, consider lending your skills and talents if you have some legal expertise or bookkeeping expertise or accounting or, you know, whatever it is that you bring to the table. Consider being on the board of directors or consider volunteering at the front desk or helping us digitize CDs or take the programming class and be a programmer on the air.